Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nayan, your host for today's show, and today we will be covering the reactions to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, our first look at Megalopolis, did Rotten Tomatoes get it right, that's a new game, the Fast and Furious 11 delay, the Boys Season 4 trailer, and another game, What's the Plot? I'm joined here by James, as usual. So sit back, crack open a cold one, and let's get straight into this podcast. So Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is one James and I are cautiously optimistic about, mainly because of the director Wes Ball. The film has been shown, and the first reactions have been overwhelmingly positive, and a lot of them have been praising Wes Ball as well. So I'll run through a couple of the reactions. So someone said it is a beautiful coming of age story framed around the idea of legacy and what happens to it when it's lost to time or subverted by the wicked. Wes Ball's approach proves that the franchise has plenty of stories left to tell, and Kevin Durant's performance as Proximus Caesar steals the movie. There's another one that says, as expected, there was no better director to take over than Wes Ball. Of course, the wizards at Weta Workshop had a big hand in this, but there's no doubt that Ball's personal proficiency with visual effects contributed big time to how incredible this film looks. A lot of praise around visual effects. Someone went as far to say that it is a tremendous visual feat with the best visual effects in a movie since Avatar: The Way of Water. And the film never wavered from its emotional core. I tried searching so hard for a negative one, and I didn't get it. This is as negative as I could get. This person says it takes a minute to get going, thoroughly introducing new characters and the timeline, then never looks back. The visual effects are outstanding and great performances. Feels like a start to a new epic saga. And then another negative one, ish, is there are undoubtedly pacing issues, brackets too long, but they love being lost in the world, and exploration of Caesar's legacy is fascinating, and the ending is wanting you to have more. So James, what are your thoughts on these initial reactions, mainly it praising Wes Ball?
Oh man, like this is just the common theme of 2024 so far. Just great movies. Just consistently, like, despite what you may think prior to going into it. And, you know, we've covered on this podcast just the how cautious we are about this one, because I'm currently rewatching the series, and bro, they're so good. Matt Reeves, he's just a master, man. Like, the way he makes it so tense, the visual effects, everything, he crafts such a good, a really powerful feeling atmosphere throughout those movies. So, you know, you get someone with Wes Ball coming to this and it's like, oh, well, that trilogy wrapped up so perfectly. There's no need for this. And even further to that, you got a director who just doesn't have the resume that Matt Reeves does. And Wes Ball, I think his most prominent thing he's done is the Maze Runner series. Funnily enough, it just got announced for a reboot, supposedly. So that's funny. But, man, I'm like, I may have really bad things to say about Wes Ball with this movie, but we saw that trailer. I said, actually, I'm kind of excited for it. They made it intriguing. It looks like a world that we want to get into and we want to explore a little bit more. So I'm glad from my, you know, a couple years ago, aggressiveness towards this idea. I'm glad that's been quelled. I'm glad that I was wrong, because at the end of the day, you know, we may provide criticism for certain things, but we're never going to complain if we're wrong and that the movie's actually great. So this is a good thing. I would say I'm more surprised about the VFX and the reactions that it's got, because we've watched the trailers and the VFX haven't blown me away. It feels right in line with the franchise that's come before it. You know, War for the Planet of the Apes is astonishing when it comes to its visual effects, and that movie is a 2017 movie. That's 7 years old by this point in time. So, you know, it doesn't look like much of an upgrade since then. But I guess perhaps maybe the final product is going to be a lot better than what we're seeing in the trailers, And that probably seeing on a big screen as well is probably going to allow us to appreciate those visuals just a little bit more. But I'm looking forward to seeing how it progresses, this story. I still don't think it's a story that's worth telling, but clearly the reactions show me that there is something to be explored here. There's something to, you know, be excited about in terms of future Apes movies. So, yeah, man, I'm fully on board. We see this both on Tuesday night, Australia, uh-huh. New Zealand. We're going to be reviewing it and dropping it in line with the embargo. So viewers, make sure once the embargo releases, I think Thursday for us, Wednesday for you guys, yeah, jump back on the channel. We'll have it up for you. Man, I'm fully on board. Let's do this. I'm ready to go. What about you?
Yep, me too. It was on my most anticipated list for 2020, what year am I in? Four? So I'm happy that I finally have a win on my list, you know. I've taken a lot of L's already this year, and we're only like 5 months in, so it's nice to see that I might be getting a big win here.
What did you have it on your most anticipated?
Give me a second, I can find out for you. I knew you were going to ask me this question, and I probably should have had it up. I had it at the 9th. I had it at 9th.
Oh, I had it 9th as well. Funny.
Yeah, so, yeah, 9th. Yeah, well-deserved, I reckon. Yeah, I'm more surprised by with the reception towards Wes Ball. You know, we came on the podcast and pretty much bashed him, saying his work in, I think it was Maze Runner, was not good, and we can't see how he can carry on Matt Reeves' legacy off this franchise. He probably would never reach those heights. Looks like as if he has. Looks like as if he's understood the world a lot. Studied it a lot and crafted a beautiful film around it. So it's good to see that, and yeah, can't wait till Tuesday. Now I want to see if all these reactions are legit, or if it's just, you know, stuff like The Flash where people are just hyping it up when it's just a
early hype. Yeah, well, you can never take reactions fully, because, you know, critics that see this movie early, if you have the chance to go to, you know, a world premiere or get to see an early screening and get to drop these reactions, it's very unlikely that you see critics go on and be like, it's awful, it's bad. Like, we saw, like, there's been, like, awful Marvel movies that people are like, oh, yeah, it's so good. Like, Thor Love and Thunder got good reactions. Like, you cannot trust it completely. The reviews is where you see, you know, everyone kind of unleashing their authentic and real opinion. But, I mean, what we've seen from the trailers, I think it's only good news so far. But, I mean, I've watched the trailers because on the NBA League Pass, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is like a sponsor or something for them. So the ad plays in every time out. It doesn't look like anything close to Matt Reeves. So we'll see what these are, if these reactions are real. I'm excited. Let's go.
Let's go. Yes. And you guys at home, let us know down below in the comments if you are more excited after these reactions, if you are still cautiously optimistic, or if you just don't give a shit about Planet of the Apes, let us know down below. Either way, we'll comment back to you and tell you that you should be excited for Planet of the Apes. All right, the next topic is Francis Ford Coppola's next film, which is pretty much dubbed as his magnum opus, titled Megalopolis, is we finally got a first look at it. It wasn't really a trailer, it was more of a clip, which is quite interesting, and which I found pretty cool as a first way to really reveal a movie. Nowadays we get it from trailers. This was an actual clip. Film stars Adam Driver, Nathalie Emmanuel, Giancarlo Esposito, Shia LaBeouf, and Aubrey Plaza. And the film is going to be shown on May 17th at the Cannes Film Festival. So, James, you've seen the little clip. What are your thoughts? Because I know that you were waiting for some footage before you made a judgment on the film.
Yeah, I've heard very mixed things. The film has been shown to people, and this kind of aligns with what we've heard so far. Granted, it's just a clip, so you cannot really base much off it, but what some of the reactions or leaks or whatever we want to call them have said about the movie is that it's, you know, visually dazzling. It looks good for IMAX, and I think that clip really aligns with the visual side of it. I think visually it's going to look great. It looks excellent. You know, I love the color grading. Some of the shots are really nice. You know, you got that dolly zoom into the cars And it just looks really, really fascinating at this point in time. With a budget of $120 million, it looks like it's going to be using every single one of those dollars. So I'm fully on board with this. And in an interesting way, though, there's no certainty, and I'm not overly confident that it's going to be great or good. I think it's just going to be something that you just have to kind of go in there and just see. You know, whatever we hear about this movie prior to actually seeing it, I feel, yeah, I don't think there is any reason to be confident that this movie will be good at this point in time. But I don't know. I think it can be something special. It's another case where it's going to be, you know, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's hard for me to see a middle ground for this kind of movie.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you on the visuals, like, you know, how the clouds are like passing like really, really fast and you got that sunset. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to look like it's going to be a beautiful movie to see visually.
Mm-hmm.
Also the score, I really like the score on it. It seemed mm-hmm. Quite old school, and I think it could be score of the year or one of the better scores for this year as well. I'm glad that it didn't show or tell much about the story. I mean, that what we saw was enough to like keep us hooked, like how you could just stop time and stuff like that. So a lot of questions are coming out of this clip, which I'm sure that we'll get answers to, but the whole thing is really interesting concept, and yeah, can't wait for it. Hopefully the reactions on May 17th are positive, because this one has been in the works for quite a while.
It has, yeah, and it's struggling to find, you know, a distribution partner. You know, it's self-financed by Coppola himself. They want whatever studio is going to pick this up, they'll be taking on board that budget. Plus, I know Coppola wants, I think, $80 million at least budgeting, print and advertising. So I don't know what studio is going to take this on. I've heard Apple, Skydance as names that are floating around as ones that are interested. But I think after it debuts at the Cannes Film Festival in a couple of weeks, you know, we're going to hear a lot more about this. We're going to get those first reviews coming in, and we're also going to see if a distribution partner can actually pick it up. It's going to be pretty interesting, but yeah, I'm excited in a different kind of way, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
A little. You guys at home, do you know what James means? Let us know in the comments below, and let us know if you are excited in a weird way, as James put it. All right. Our next segment is one that we've actually played right at the start of our podcasting days back in 2021. It's called Did Rotten Tomatoes Get It Right? Basically, I have a couple movies here, actually more than a couple, I have a lot of movies here. I'll be sharing the Rotten Tomatoes score with James, and James, in his own opinion, pretty much says, yes, they got it right, or no, they didn't, and if he wants, he can share what he thinks the score should have been. Alright, James, so the first one I've got here is The Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious 1. So, the audience score for this was 74%, and the actual Rotten Tomatoes score is rotten at 54%.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with the audience one for this one. I don't think it's a rotten movie. It for its time, I think it's actually pretty good. It feels like one of those like classics, 2000s movie. Because what year was it released in? 2001, something like that.
I think, yeah,
yeah. It just feels like that, and it's fairly respectable in any of those movies coming out around that sort of time. I don't think it's like. It's not great by any means, but it's a good time. Yeah, I would go the audience score. 74 seems like the respectable one for this.
Nice. All right, the next one we have a comedy in Step Brothers. So this one's actually rotten at 55%, and the audience score is 69%. James is shaking his head. I think he is going to say Rotten Tomatoes got it wrong.
They did get it wrong. Man, I love Step Brothers. I mean, it's dumb. It's the whole concept's really dumb, but it's so good. It's hilarious. I mean, I think like even, you know, there's some good emotions in there as well that it throws into it. It's not just, you know, funny, raunchy comedy or anything. It's actually got some heart to it. Yeah, they got it wrong. The audience got it wrong as well. I would say as far as comedies go, and I think comedies are, at least by Rotten Tomato standards, unfairly judged. I don't know. It's hard to get a comedy that's like, you know, 90% plus. I'm not saying Step Brothers should be, but I think 85 to 90 is where it should be. A comedy is supposed to make you laugh, and Step Brothers makes you laugh. It did its job. It should be fresh.
80 to 90. That is high. All right. The next one is Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. So audience score for this is 86%, and it is certified fresh at 80% for Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. What was the audience score again?
86.
Yeah, I think they're bang on the money there. I would even go low 90s for something like this. Mm-hmm. As a movie about pirates, I mean, it's based on a ride at Disneyland, I believe.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, and when you hear about, you know, some ride at Disneyland being made into a movie, you have zero expectations. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, they're running out of ideas. Pirates of the Caribbean, man, it created a franchise, one of the biggest in its time. Redefined visual effects, the second one did at least, and so on. But this one started it all. It's a brilliant movie. Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow is one of the best castings of all time in a major blockbuster. So, yeah, I would say low 90s is probably where it should be. Not mad at the Rotten Tomatoes score, but they did get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it definitely should be a lot higher as well. Mm-hmm. All right, another comedy, Hot Fuzz. Audience score is 89%, and it's certified fresh at a whopping 91%.
91. Yep, they got it. They got it right. I mean, perhaps go even a little bit higher on the RT score with that one. I think it's brilliant. The comedy is... it's very different to Step Brothers comedy, of course, but it's got a really clever comedy to it. It's got really interesting editing that make it engaging, makes it a lot of fun. It's just got its a neat little style, a lot of, you know, really great plot twists. I think it all just, it's just like, it's one of Edgar Wright's best films, one of the best comedy movies. I think, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can bump that up to a 95, I think. It's really, really well done.
All right, hear that, Rotten Tomatoes, change your fucking score. 95%, thanks. All right, the next one, animated. I wouldn't do a segment without an animated movie, so it's here, and it's based on superheroes too. We got The Incredibles. The audience score has it at 75%, and this one, as with all the early Pixar films, it's rated very, very high, certified fresh at 97%. Accurate?
Wait, what was that audience score?
75.
What the fuck, bro? Yeah. What is that? That is cooked. Who?
Based on 250,000 ratings.
And those accounts need to be deleted. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. Some people just shouldn't have an opinion when it comes to movies. Like, that actually annoys me. So you get 100 people going into that movie, 25 don't like it. Yeah, no, that makes me mad. That makes me mad.
Triggered.
But yeah, like I don't know how you can come out of the movie and be like, oh, that was bad, or I didn't like it. Maybe you can be in the middle, maybe, but The Incredibles is brilliant. I think Rotten Tomatoes got it right. It deserves to be that the high 90s. It's one of those movies where it's really hard to find a fault in it, and if you are finding faults, you're nitpicking. You're going through it really deep to try and find something wrong with it, but I think it's brilliant. You know, when it comes to superhero movies that have a family or multiple heroes in it, and it's the first one of that, it's really hard to nail all the characters and the chemistry between the entirety of the team. But The Incredibles does it. It's a blueprint for what Fantastic Four should be.
100%. Hopefully, Marvel takes a page out of Incredibles books. When it releases next year. It's not.
It won't.
All right. This segment flew by. We're on to our last one already. So we got Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or Sorcerer's Stone, depending on which side of the world you live in. So the audience score is 82%, and the Rotten Tomatoes score is very close, certified fresh at 81.
I agree. I think Rotten Tomatoes got it right. And you know me, I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I don't know many people that are a bigger Harry Potter fan than I am. I know there's, you know, some crazy fans out there. I'm not going to argue with you guys. But in general, when this is my favorite franchise. I think it's the best franchise in the world. It's just, it's so incredible. I've rewatched these movies, you know, countless times. All the interviews, I've seen it all. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is one of my least liked ones. It's somewhere more in the middle, but as far as the Harry Potter movies go, it's not a top three or even a top four. I think all the Harry Potters are good movies, but Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is not a great movie. I think the 81% that you said, I think that's perfectly placed. But if I was to go back in time, this movie would blow my mind as being a critic and such, because, you know, it's, we haven't really seen much movies, you know, start with, you know, child actors and being so immersed in a world like this. It's very rare you get those kind of movies. They kind of come once in a blue moon. Even something like Avatar, I guess, you know, would be an example. They're very rare. So what Harry Potter did with that first movie in its time is amazing. But looking at it now, I think they got that number right.
Nice. Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone? Which fence do you lie on?
Philosopher is the way it's meant to be. Americans just have to be different because they think they're special, which they're not. Isn't the books officially Philosopher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember the story about why it's Sorcerers in America is because philosopher would be too confusing for Americans. So they had to change it to something more easy for them to understand. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but that's just what I've heard. No judgments on my part.
All right, you Americans, James called you out. Do you guys understand the term philosophers, or did it need to be basic downed for you to sorcerers? Let us know in the comments below. If you enjoy the segment, let us know as well. We'll probably introduce this a bit more, probably do some franchises or, you know, studios. Mm-hmm. We'll look into it. Any suggestions, let us know. All right, now back to business, and that is Fast and Furious 11. So many titles for this. We got Fast 11, Fast and Furious 11, Fast X Part 2, which makes no sense, but whatever. It's been delayed again to 2026. Filming is due to begin early next year, 2025. It's directed by Lewis Lederer and it has Rock in it, so that's probably why it's been delayed as well. James, what do you think? Do you think this is all The Rock's fault?
Yeah, he just needs to come to set right on time. No, I don't think it's The Rock's fault. I was actually under the impression that Fast 10 and Fast 11, or Fast X and Fast XI, whatever we want to call it, I thought they were being done back-to-back and releasing, you know, 1 year and then you're done. So it's surprising that it's going to be pushed back this much. But yeah, they haven't started filming. This is the first time I'm hearing that they haven't even started filming. I thought this film was shot and ready to go. It boggles my mind to know that it's being delayed now. Like, if you haven't even started filming it, why would you not delay this ages ago? Like, you've had the time to delay it. So good move on their part, especially if they haven't done filming yet. The visual effects on the last one were awful. Honestly, bump this back to 2017. Take your time. Don't rush production. I think Fast and Furious gets, honestly, too much shit. But I'm part of that problem. I give it a ton of shit. It's an easy target. It's got a target on its back, just because it's like extremely popular now. But Fast and Furious is a good franchise in terms of just delivering entertainable content. It really fails to succeed at that. It's, you know, made a little formula of itself to be as dumb as possible and being okay with that. So the Fast and Furious franchise, if this is the end for it, I want it to go on a high. I want it to be done respect to a franchise that has run 25 years now. So take your time with this one. I can certainly wait. And 2026 is starting to look like a good year for movies. So, yeah, we'll see how things go. What about you? What are your thoughts on the delay? Yeah, are you sad?
Yeah, I'm a huge Fast and Furious fan. I had a little cry when I saw this news. No, I don't really care. I'm not that bothered about it. I just want this franchise to end already.
Gosh.
Well, it's been going on for, what you said, 25 years, and each film is like progressively getting worse and worse and worse. They probably should have stopped at Furious 7, because that would have been the perfect ending for the franchise. But no, they had to go do another four more.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, you're completely right there in saying that it gives them time to nail down everything, visuals, the script. That's probably where I assume something they'll try to work on. They want to try to give the franchise a satisfying and perfect ending. So it gives them time to, you know, think of ideas. They pretty much have a whole, or 7 months to tidy up the story before they get into filming. And then also schedules of the other actors as well. You know, The Rock's got Smash Machine and, stupidly, the live-action Moana to film. but I don't know about any of the other actors or actresses, what their schedule's like, but I'm sure it's busy as well. So it's just wins all around, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the thing with Fast and Furious is you are right. I think, you know, looking back, I didn't agree with that at the time, but looking back, it probably should have ended at Furious 7. Just a great movie. Like, it's a ton of fun. As far as, you know, action popcorn blockbusters go, it's like really high on that list. And it ended really well. It captured the emotions perfectly. And then, you know, Fate of the Furious, worst name in history. And F9, getting worse in terms of names. Just meaningless storytelling to continue this franchise. But Fast X and this movie coming up, it's different because there's purposeful storytelling for it. And we haven't really had that since Furious 7. So honestly, I'm keen for this movie just because we actually finally get, you know, a purpose to it. And there might be, you know, a character's death or just some meaningful stuff might actually happen rather than just dumb fun. So I just hope they make it good, get the franchise the send-off it deserves.
Yeah, well, we already know that no one can be killed in Fast and Furious because they just come back.
I don't know, bro. That plane blew up at the end of the Fast X, so they have to be dead, right? I mean, what would you do if at the end of Fast X Part 2 or Fast 11, like, they had, like, the credits and then, like, their signatures, like, being written as well?
And it's just, like, at the end of the credits, it's just revving off a car.
Yeah.
A little tease. Fast and Furious Endgame. Let's go. Like, Vin Diesel meets up with Jason Momoa's character, and then like a door just opens up, and it's just all these like characters from throughout the franchise just come out to stop Jason Momoa.
They're gonna do some corny stuff like that, I think, in the credits. They'll do something like that. I don't know. Vin Diesel talks about this like it's like the greatest franchise in the world. It's not top 10.
Well, you guys at home, is this the greatest franchise in the world, or is Vin Diesel dreaming? I'm sure he's dreaming, but I'm sure a lot of petrol heads will disagree with us. Let us know in the comments. Are you happy that it's been delayed, or do you just want it to be over and done with and should have released ASAP? Let us know. Right, so The Boys Season 4, we got our first look in a trailer. It's due to come out on June 13th on Amazon Prime Video. It follows on from the events of Gen V, the little spin-off series of The Boys. There's new members of The Seven. One of them's called Firecracker, portrayed by Valerie Curry, and Sister Sage, portrayed by Susan Hayward. Don't ask me what their powers are. I'm just going to assume Firecracker is something fiery and Sister Sage is, I don't know.
Sage.
I was
something going, does Sage. The spirits was, or something?
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he's also a new addition to this, and he will be helping the boys, mainly Butch, in regards to taking down the Seven and Supes. So, James, you've seen it. What are your thoughts?
Oh, man, June 13th, can't come here soon enough. I mean, something with The Boys that I didn't like with Season 3 is that it felt like it ended where it started. They just kind of, they made progress and then they were back to square one again. And something that I think The Boys is kind of struggling with is pacing in terms of the overarching story. It's taking a lot of time to get, you know, significant movements in the storyline. Particularly, you know, ending Homelander and Vought, all that kind of stuff. But as far as entertainment goes, the Boys stand so tall with it because it's just so much fun. And this doesn't look like it's going to let us down in that capacity at all. Anthony Starr as Homelander, he's brilliant, dude. Like, what he does with that character is just, It's such a joy to watch. He's absolutely perfect for it. He's one of those kind of castings where it's like, I can't imagine anyone else playing this. He just does 100%. It so well. And he looks like he's taking it to another level with this one, especially at the end of the trailer. Just, you know, something even different from what we've heard from him before. So I'm really keen to see where Homelander's journey goes in this, in terms of how, you know, Vought gets taken down. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, we saw in that trailer a couple of characters from Gen V. I think you got that crazy mentally ill strong kid who's kind of got like Homelander-like powers, and the mind control lady. I saw them in the trailer. So it'll be interesting to see how those two franchises or storylines cross over and how they interact with the larger world. I'm keen to see that. I'm honestly mostly keen to see what these, you know, zombie animals, you know, we got some kind of psychotic sheep. Yeah. And like that chicken is like, I think it's going to be hilarious. As far as entertainment goes, I know this is going to deliver, and I'm going to have a fucking fantastic time with it. But in terms of where it takes its story, I will just wait and see how it is. It looks like it's going to be great, but we got to see how it wraps up. I just hope we get some, you know, development. The ending of Homelander has to come at some point, right? At some point.
It does, and we always think that, oh yeah, this season it's going to be his downfall. But turns out now he's created a cult following, you know? It's you know, you got your pro Homelander and anti-Homelander, and they're coming head-to-head. I think it's the Starlight fans and the Homelander homeboys, you know, coming in and having a little rumble. It is already a political sort of TV series. I think it's just going to get a bit more political now. Fully going into Homelander's decisions, makings, and what he did at the end of season 3. But you're completely right. Like, Anthony Starr just somehow keeps getting better and better and better in this role. He's really going full psychotic, as we could see by his laugh. Like, oh, this guy is just... Give him an Emmy. Give him an Emmy already. This is also going to be, like, super bloody as well, just based on that trailer. And those animals, man. I fucking lost my shit when I saw that flying sheep. I was like, what the hell? It's just, like, flying hunting them. I'm just like, what the hell has the boys come to now? Like, we got soups, now we have super animals. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. Butch and the boys just can't catch a break, eh? But it's interesting. They're going back to the soup-killing virus plotline. Going to bring that in, so it's going to be awesome to see how that plays, and hopefully it works out. I really do hope, I don't want it to end soon, but I think The Boys needs to end soon. Like, it can't overstay its welcome. I would say season 5 should be its last. Otherwise, it's just, you know, we've seen a lot of TV series where it overstays its welcome and the quality just drops, so I think The Boys should just end on a high.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think, season 5 has to be its last, because I think there's so many, and I think Gen V proved it, that you can do a lot with this universe in terms of where The Boys fits in. But this storyline that The Boys is following, you're right, man, it can't overstay its welcome. Do you think that Soldier Boy, is he going to be making a return?
I think he is.
Yeah,
I assume so, because what happened at the end, he
went back in the ice or something. Frozen, like,
again, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll probably come out.
I hope so.
At some point. Soldier Boy was mean. I want to see more 80s-inspired videos from him. That shit was gold. All right, you guys at home, let us know if you're excited for some 80s content from Soldier Boy, and if you're excited for The Boys Season 4, let us know down below in the comments. Comes out June 13th on Amazon Prime Video. All right, we're moving on to our final segment, finish off on a game. It's one that we've played before, but a little bit poorly because I made it all Easter Bunny themed and sort of made it a bit more easier for James.
So easy, yeah.
Yeah. So the game's called What's the Plot? And the game is self-explanatory. James has to guess what the plot is for the movie that I'm saying. I'll read out a plot. James has to guess it. This time around, I'll just say a bit of the plot. If James gets stuck, I'll reveal a bit more and a bit more, or even maybe give him a clue here and there. I got a lot. I went a bit overboard on this. So, James, give me a number on how many you want to do.
I think a clean 5.
Clean 5.
Clean 5 will do, yeah.
All right, cool. I'll start. Sounds good. I'll start off with an easy one to get you all warmed up, you know. So, here we go. A banker is wrongly convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison.
A banker?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Here we go.
I took a stab at that one. This game's too easy.
All right, next one. A young aristocrat falls in love with a penniless artist.
Can you repeat that?
A young aristocrat falls in love with a penniless artist.
Titanic.
Fuck off.
Oh, I'm so good.
All right. Let's try pick a hard one. I feel so pressure now.
I mean, they're hard, but I'm getting good lucky guesses.
Okay, here we go. Two young soldiers are tasked with delivering a crucial message.
1917.
Fuck!
That one was the easiest one ever.
I know. All right. I need to spice it up here. Let's see what we can do. No, you'll get
not another short. Anyway. What's the plot?
I completely lost track. We're at three already.
Three, yep. Three down, two to go.
Okay. The aging patriarch of a powerful crime family transfers control of his clandestine empire to his reluctant son.
It's like Godfather.
Oh, you dickhead. Yes, it is.
Bro, these are easy.
Well, I don't know.
Are you writing these plots yourself, or are you taking them from something?
I'm taking them from something. Probably should.
Yeah, you should word it in your own way next time. Try and, like, trick me.
I will. I should.
Yeah. All right, last one, lad.
Last one. It's so pressure. So much pressure. In a distant future, humans colonize a planet. Or, a moon.
A moon? In a distant future. Well, that could be a few moves, I feel. Ad Astra?
Nope.
Oh, look, there you go. In a distant future, humans colonize a moon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it Avatar?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't know if it was a moon or a planet. but yeah, okay. That was a good one. You stumbled me for a little bit there.
I did. It took you a... you had a guess. All right. Yeah. That was a quick segment again. I think I've learnt my lesson and I need to make them very, very hard. So that's what I'm going to do next time round. I'm just going to say one word. James has to guess it now. So hopefully I can stump him. That's what's the plot. Let us know if you enjoyed that segment as very quick as it was. Did you guess them as quickly as James did? Or did you struggle? Hopefully you struggled. It will make me feel a lot better. Let me know in the comments below if you did or didn't. And if I'm just an idiot for making them super simple. That will do us today on our Let's Be Real podcast. Hope you all enjoyed today's show, the segments and the games that we played. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. You'll be doing us a big favor and we will appreciate you guys a lot for that. If you're sick of seeing us and you want to hear us instead, understandable, head over to Spotify where you pod from, search Let's Be Real, and you can listen to all of our podcasts from past, present, and the future. And be sure to flick us a DM on Instagram or X about any ideas, any segments you want us to tackle, any what's the plot ideas. You'll probably do a better job than me, for sure. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. We'll catch you on next episode with Movie Games. Catch you later.
Peace.